This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay. Bruchim Abayim, welcome everyone. Thank you everyone for coming. We'd like to welcome all of our Torah Anytime viewers. Tonight's shir, the opening shir of this season, is being sponsored by Sam Daniel in honor of the first shir of the year. Baruch Hashem, over this past year, the shir has experienced tremendous growth. And Sam has been very instrumental in the development and the growth of the shir since its inception, from his support and encouragement. And we're mevarech Sam and the zchus of supporting Torah. Shabbi zaychen this coming year to a year of good health, parnasa berevach, and many happy occasions in his family.
Amen.
Okay, we're only a few days now before the Yimei HaSlichos. Before we begin saying slichos, the Sfaradim have already begun from Rosh Chodesh Elul. Minhag Ashkenaz, though, says the Levush, is that we have to start a minimum of 4 days before Rosh Hashanah. At least 4 days before Rosh Hashanah. What is the significance of 4 days before Rosh Hashanah? So the Levush tells us an incredible custom, an incredible minhag, that it used to be every single Jew fasted during the Aseres Yimei Tshuva. Imagine that. Fasting from Rosh Hashanah until Yom Kippur. The only thing is, obviously, you can't fast on the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. And you can't fast on Shabbos. And you can't fast on Erev Yom Kippur. So out of the Aseres Yimei Tshuva, you have 4 days that you're not able to fast. So to compensate, to make up, right? You know, sometimes you have a rain delay. This is, you know, in advance. In advance of 4 days, you can't fast. We have at least a minimum of 4 days of slichos before Rosh Hashanah. So you could just imagine in the days of old, in the times of Levush, in the 17th century, besides fasting 6 days during the Aseres Yimei Tshuva, most Jews fasted 4 days before Rosh Hashanah. Okay, very nice. So you'll say, if Rosh Hashanah comes out on a Thursday, so you're going to have slichos Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You're going to have 4 days before Rosh Hashanah. What if Rosh Hashanah comes out on Shabbos? So you would think we should start slichos Monday, right? Or let's say Rosh Hashanah comes out on a Monday or a Tuesday. So we should only need to start slichos 4 days before, the Wednesday or the Thursday before. After all we need is 4 days. So for instance, this year, Rosh Hashanah is, what? Sunday night. So we should start slichos, I don't know, Wednesday. But we don't. When do we start slichos? This coming Matzah Shabbos, Sunday. Why? Says the Levush, listen to this. Since we need a minimum of 4 days, so when are we going to start? We're going to start Wednesday, this year, Wednesday? Yeah, and next year when Rosh Hashanah comes out, I don't know, let's say Shabbos, we're going to start on a Monday, and a different year that Rosh Hashanah comes out on a Monday, what are we going to do? We're going to start on the Wednesday before? It's not going to be uniform. It's going to get too confusing. This way, we want to make one uniform day that we always start slichos on one specific day, says Levush. Therefore, we start slichos on Sunday. Keep it simple. You know, we want to keep things simple. Slichos, you know, it's like, you know, slichos for dummies. You don't know anything about this. Right? That's what it sounds like the Levush is saying. We don't want to, you know, make things too complicated, too confusing. You know, people don't have calendars. Nobody can remember what date slichos starts. So we keep it simple. We always start Sunday. What we'd like to investigate this evening is, what is the deeper reason? Is there more of a reason why we specifically start slichos b'maitzoy menucha immediately after the Shabbos? Okay. This week's parsha, we have something called Vidui Maaser. Vidui Maaser. Every year, each Jew was obligated to give two tithes, two maaseros. For instance, in year one, you gave Maaser Rishon. Who does Maaser Rishon go to? Any Levium here? Anyone a Levi? Gabi. You give Maaser, you too. You give David. You give Maaser Rishon to your friendly Levi, right? This way, you know, you try to get the Levium to, you know, to buddy up to you. You know, they're going to want your Maaser Rishon. So you give Maaser Rishon to the Levi. Then you give something called Maaser Sheni. Who gets Maaser Sheni? You get it yourself. You have to take the Ma'aser Sheni and you bring it to Yerushalayim. You eat it in Yerushalayim. These are the two Ma'asros. Ma'aser Rishon goes to Levi. Ma'aser Sheni, you eat it yourself in Yerushalayim. That's year one. Year two, again, Ma'aser Rishon to the Levi. Ma'aser Sheni, you eat it in Yerushalayim. Year three, things change. Year three, you give Ma'aser Rishon to the Levi. And in year three, you don't have to give Ma'aser Sheni. You give Maser Ani. Right? I'm not going to ask who's an Ani, right? Levim will identify. You give Maser Ani. Give Maser Ani. So year one, year two, Maser Rishon, Maser Sheni. Year three, Maser Rishon, Maser Ani. Comes year four. In year four on Erev Pesach, you better have given Maser for the last 3 years. The last day of Pesach in year four, you make the following declaration. Ribbono shel Olam, for the last 3 years, I did whatever I needed to. I gave my Ma'aser Rishon, I gave my Ma'aser Ani, I gave my Ma'aser Sheni, I gave my Bikurim, I gave my Truma, I gave money to Tomchei Shabbos, and I gave money to Toras Emes. I did whatever I had to do, right? I gave all my charities. Not only that, I didn't give the Levi before the Kayin. Okay. As part of the declaration of Vidoy Ma'aser, you say the following. Look at number two. The pasuk says, "V'amarta lefnei Hashem lekecha." You say before God, "Biarti hakodesh min habayis." I removed all my maaser from the house. V'gam nesativ la'levi. I gave to the Levi. V'la'ger v'la'yasam la'aman. I gave to the poor. K'chol mitzvascha asher tzivisani. I fulfilled all your commandments. Lo yavarti mimitzvosach. I didn't violate your command. V'lo yishachachti. And I didn't forget. I didn't forget what? What didn't you forget? You didn't forget your wife's birthday. That you did forget, right? What didn't you forget? What didn't you forget? Loi shachachti. I didn't forget. Says Rashi, the loi shachachti milavarechacha. I didn't forget to make a bracha. Al hafrashas masros an hafrashas maser. I didn't forget to make a bracha. By the way, for you Daf Yomi goers, not only is this a Rashi, the Gemara Brachos you'll have soon on Daf Mem says the same thing. V'loi shachachti milavarechacha. I did not forget to make a bracha. What's Rashi talking about? Anybody have any questions on Rashi?
It's the bracha ma'aser.
The bracha ma'aser is asher kedushanu b'mitzvos tzivanu al hafrashas ma'aser. This Rashi is one of the most difficult Rashis in the entire Chumash. You know who's bothered on this Rashi? The Marsha, Rabbi Kiva Eger, everyone. Any rabbi, they all have the same question on Rashi. You know what the question is? One problem, Rashi. This is the Vidui Maisa, this is the liturgy, this is the language determined by the Torah itself, right? This is a Midoi Raisa language. This is what the Torah says you have to say. The Torah says you have to say, I didn't forget to make a bracha. Brachas are drabanan. There's no biblical obligation to make a bracha, except for Birchas HaMazon and Birchas HaTorah. There is no biblical obligation, there is no mitzvah d'iraisa to make a bracha. Brachos are drabanan. That's why we say, Safek brachos lahaka. There is no biblical obligation to make a bracha on any mitzvah. You blow the shofar, you are not required midaraisa to make a bracha. You take the lulav and eser, you're not required midaraisa to make a bracha. You right? So what in the world is Rashi talking about? V'loi shachachti, I didn't forget. This is what the Torah requires you to say. I didn't forget to do what? To make a bracha. Why would the Torah require you to say that you fulfilled a mitzvah that had not been invented yet? Good question. That's the question of the Mizrahi. That's a rhetorical question. If I say good question, you're supposed to say yes. Right? That's the question of the Mizrahi. Mizrahi is what we call a super commentary. Super commentary is a commentary on a commentary. Rashi is a Mefarish, a commentary. Mizrahi, who is not a member of the Mizrahi party, right? This was one of the early Kadmoinim. The Mizrahi asks on Rashi, Rashi, what's the man talking about? What does the Torah mean? V'loi shachachti. I did not forget to make a bracha. Brachos are midrabanan. Why would the Torah, how could the Torah require you to make a declaration, I did something that no one ever told you you have to do? Another question. We know that there's a mitzvah to fast on Yom Kippur, right? Everybody know that? Right? You got to fast on Yom Kippur. There's also another mitzvah d'oraisa, and that is a mitzvah to eat Erev Yom Kippur. I'll tell you a little secret. You'll never have a problem eating, right? Erev Yom Kippur comes, all of a sudden the Yetzer Hara will think of a million reasons why you don't want to eat. Fact. Try, you'll see. Erev Yom Kippur, you're too busy to eat. Why? Because all of a sudden it's a mitzvah to eat, you know, the Yetzer Hara is going to start getting in the way. It's such a big mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. What's the bigger mitzvah? To eat on Erev Yom Kippur or to fast on Yom Kippur? It is actually bigger mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur than to fast on Yom Kippur. I know you're getting excited. It's a bigger mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur than to fast on Yom Kippur. Rabbi, where'd you get this from? It's a Gemara. The Gemara says, look at number 6, Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says on the Pasuk, V'inisem esnaf shayseichem betisha. You should afflict yourself on the 9th of Tishrei. What do you mean the 9th of Tishrei? We don't fast on the 9th of Tishrei. We fast on the 10th of Tishrei. Says the Gemara, B'chi B'tisha Masana, do we fast on the 9th? But it teaches you, anyone who eats and drinks on the 9th of Tishrei, it's as if he fasted, what? On the 9th and the 10th. Fasted 2 days. So you hear what's going on. If you fast on Yom Kippur, how many days do you get credit for? 1 day. If you eat on Erev Yom Kippur, how many days is it as if you fasted? 2 days. So what's a bigger mitzvah? Fasting on Yom Kippur or eating Erev Yom Kippur? Eating Erev Yom Kippur. Explain that one, right? Try explaining that one. How does that make any sense? Right? Does that make sense? You're telling me that if I go to, you know, what is it called? Wak Tov? That's like for the special anti-tochacha, you know, tochacha is the wak. Right, this is the Wak Tov. But, right, you go to Wak, you're telling me it's a bigger mitzvah to sit in Wak Tov, and every kezayis I eat there, every fortune cookie I eat, every piece of meat I eat, is another mitzvah. It's a bigger mitzvah than fasting and than sitting in shul and listening to, you know, some Yom Kippur appeal. I mean, how does that make sense? How do we understand that? Okay. The Gemara in Kedushin tells us the following. The Gemara in Kedushin says, and the Yushalmi elaborates on it, the Gemara says, Tanan, kal ha'oisa mitzvah achas meitivin lai. Anyone who does a mitzvah, God will benefit him. The Yishalmi elaborates, not that God will benefit him. Umarichin layamav, he'll live long. Benoichal asa'aretz, he'll inherit the land. Things will be good. That's what the Gemara says. You do one mitzvah, you'll live long. Right? Sounds good. But let's ask ourselves, is that true? I know people who did more than one mitzvah. They didn't live long. So it's a nice promise, right? But the Gemara is saying, anyone, kol, right? Kol means anyone. Anyone who does one mitzvah, he will live long and meitivin lai. God will benefit him. Do we always see that to be the case? You know who asked this question? None other than Rav Chaim Vital. Rav Chaim Vital wants to know, what does the Gemara mean? That anyone who does one mitzvah, you're telling me I come to shul one time and I daven Shemoneh Esrei, that's it, I live long? That's it? Sounds good, but is that true? Back to you, Daf Yomi goers. The Gemara says on Daf Tes, about a Amora by the name of Rav Bruna. Rav Bruna, one time, listen to what Rav Bruna did. We know there's a mitzvah that when you daven Shemoneh Esrei, you have to be somech geula to tefillah. You have to say Goal Yisrael and immediately start Shemoneh Esrei. Right? You need to put the words Goal Yisrael immediately connected to Shemoneh Esrei. One day, Rav Bruna said Goal Yisrael and he started Shemoneh Esrei. He was so happy, says the Gemara. He couldn't wipe the smile off his face the whole day. He was so happy. You know, if I was davening in his shul, I would have gone, you know, Rabbi, what are you smiling about? You know, what are you so happy? What happened? No, the Gemara says, one time, He was so mech geula l'tfila, he could not get the smile off. I don't, what was he so happy about? Okay. Rabbi Yisrael, we have in this week's parsha the tochacha, the curses, right? The curses. Anybody know how many klalos are in this week's parsha? 98, right? They're not good, right? They're not good, these curses. They're really bad. Take a look, right? You'll be completely removed from your homeland. Your livelihood will be taken away. Your children will be taken away. Golos, tragedy. All the tragedies that happened to in our history are all predicted in this week's parsha. Rabbi Yisai, why did they happen? What does it say in the Chumash? Because we didn't wear tefillin? No. Because we don't keep Shabbos? No. Because we speak Lashon Hara? No. In fact, God says, you kept every mitzvah in the Torah. But just one thing. Look, Tachas asher lo yavadeta es Hashem elokecha b'simcha. Yeah, we went to shul. But we came into shul half asleep. And we were looking at our watches. Okay, davening's usually over Shabbos morning, 11:05. That means only 52 and a half minutes left. Yeah, that's what the Chumash is saying. Right? This is not my word. The Torah says, black and white, that the reason for all Jewish tragedy is because we serve God perfectly. Every mitzvah, every halacha and shochanach. But the only thing that was missing was we didn't serve Hashem with simcha. Yeah, we put on our tefillin, but it was like on autopilot, right? Yeah, we put on our talis, and yeah, we learned. But it was like, you know, it was like someone's put a gun to our head. But that's what the Torah said. Tachas ha-shaloi avadata ha-shem le-kecha b'simcha. And the question we got to ask ourselves, and this is raised by the Shem Yishmuel, in the name of his holy father, the Avnei Nezer, what is so bad? You want to say we weren't big tzaddikim, we didn't serve Hashem, you know, like a big Rebbe with great simcha and hislavas? Fine. But you're telling me all Jewish tragedy happened because we didn't serve God in happiness? I mean, what is this? The Torah's trying to bust our chops. We did everything. Chelek Aleph Mishnah Berurah, Chelek Beis Mishnah Berurah, Chelek Gimel, all the halachos. Everything in Yalkut Yosef, everything, right? Every chumrah of Rabbi Avadia. No, we're not missing anything. And yet, what we're missing? Happiness when we were fulfilling a mitzvah. I mean, come on, you know, lay off, chill out, right? If we could say something. Relax, we did everything. Now you want me to feel something when I, you know, what's the big deal? Okay. Now we're going to have a small pocket of lamdos, okay? Just hold on. If you don't get it, we'll tune you back in about 120 seconds. There was a man by the name of the Rimagash. The Rimagash was the Rebbe of the Rambam. Rimagash got up in his town of Alisna, and he said the following halacha. When you blow your shofar on Rosh Hashanah, before you blow the shofar, I want you to make a shachianu. Before you take your lulav and esrog on Sukkot, I want you to make a shachianu. Raise your hand if we do that. Raise your hand. We do that, right? We all make a shachianu before we blow the shofar. We all make a shachianu before we take the lulav. Comes the Rif. The Rif was one of the greatest of all the Rishonim. The Rif, in a generation where the average lifespan was under 30, lived to be 90 years old. It's a fact. Okay? In the times of the Rif, the average human lifespan was under 30 years old. The Rif lived to be 90. Okay? That would be like somebody today living to 250 years old. Beli Guzma. The Rif got up, and he comes to the Rimagash, he says, Rimagash, you got it wrong. What are you making a Shechianu for? You already made a Shechianu in Kiddush, the night of Sukkot. You're going to make another Shechianu when you take your Luvan Esrik. You already made a Shechianu the night of Rosh Hashanah when you made Kiddush. You're going to make another Shechianu when you take the Shofar. The Rif said, no Shechianu on Sukkot, no Shechianu on Rosh Hashanah. And then the Rimagash was about to listen to the Rif until the Rimagash made the following compromise. He said, Rosh Hashanah, you yes make a Shechianu. Sukkot, you don't make a Shechianu. What's the explanation of that? The explanation is the following. Listen to this. Says the Rimagash, the bracha of Shechianu on a mitzvah that comes once a year, listen to this, is a chiyuv midairaisa. Now we know, right? You hear that? The bracha of Shechianu is a biblical obligation. So what? A biblical obligation? We know. Brachos are midrabanan. Except for Birchas HaMazon, where it says V'achalta V'savat V'erachta, and Birchas HaTorah that it says Kishem Hashem Ekra Havu Gadol Kenu, no other brachos are midairaisa. Comes the Rimagash and he says Shehechianu is dairaisa, and therefore he says like this: Shehechianu we make the night of Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara debates whether we need to make a Shehechianu or night, whether Bechlal for the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah you should make a Shehechianu. That Shehechianu is drabanan. Therefore, you're required to make a Shehechianu in the morning, because the Shehechianu which during the night was drabanan cannot cover the Shehechianu during the day, which is dairaisa. However, Sukkis, where the Shehechianu on the Yom Tov of Sukkis is dairaisa also, that will cover the chi of Shehechianu dairaisa that you should make on the lulav and esrog. The Tamtzus Hadvarim, the summary, executive summary of what we just said is, the Rimagash is of the opinion, a very novel opinion, that the bracha of Shehechianu is a chi of dairaisa. Go around, you could tell 1,000 people, no one ever heard this before. Shehechianu is a chiv dairaisa. First of all, does it say anywhere in the Chumash, you know, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Leimor, Yivarech Shehechianu, right? Does it say anywhere that you have to make a Shehechianu on a Yontif? Doesn't say anything like that. More than that, does it say in any Mishnah you have to make a Shehechianu? No. Does it say in any Gemara? And yet the Rimagash gets up and he says, you know what, I feel Shehechianu, not only is a Chiyuv Rabbanan, it's a Chiyuv Dairaisa. For any mitzvah that comes, you know, from Mizman Lizman. Not on a fruit, on a mitzvah. So where did he get this from? So this is something we need to explore. Turn the page. Rabbeinu B'chaye tells us an amazing thing. Rabbeinu B'chaye says, every time a mitzvah comes our way, we should think the following. We are about to do two mitzvahs. Two mitzvahs? What are you talking about? Let's say right now. Right? We all came here to learn. Talmud Torah. Now, says the Rabbeinu B'chaye, we should think. We came here tonight to do two mitzvahs. What are the two mitzvahs? Number one, Talmud Torah. And number two, doing the mitzvah b'simcha, with happiness. Says Rabbeinu B'chaye, look at number 16, Ya'ashimenu, when the Torah says that all of these punishments will take place because we didn't serve God b'simcha, Ya'ashimenu akasov, the Torah is indicting us, is critiquing us, criticizing us. Be'avdai Hashem yisparach v'loy ha'isa ha'avayda b'simcha. If we serve God, but it's not with joy. Lefi shechayiv ha'adam ala simcha b'hisaskoi b'mitzvahis. Because a person is obligated to serve Hashem with happiness. V'hasimcha b'maseh ha'mitzvah. Mitzvah b'fnei atzma. The joy that a person experiences when he does a mitzvah is a separate mitzvah. Milvad haschar sheyesho ala mitzvah, yesho ischar ala simcha. Besides the reward you're going to get, Rabbi Sai, for learning Torah, you're also going to get reward for the happiness that you feel tonight, that you have the great privilege to serve the Creator of the universe by learning His Torah. So every time you do a mitzvah, you should think you're about to do two mitzvahs. Number one, the mitzvah, and number two, the happiness that you feel when you do the mitzvah. By the way, we can't have a share without the Chidah, right? The Chidah says that the word simcha is a Rashi Tevois. Take a look in number 23. The word simcha stands for simchas mitzvah chiyafu. Okay, we would have, right, before we came in here tonight, we would have said, you know, just do the mitzvah. Put on the tefillin. Whatever feeling you have, you don't have, that's extra. That's, you know, the cherry on top. That's like the whipped cream. The main thing is just do the mitzvah. Everything else is, you know, hider mitzvah, Says the Chida, it ain't Hidr Mitzvah. That's not Hidr Mitzvah. That is a Chiyav in and of itself. Not only are we obligated to do the Mitzvah, we're obligated to do the Mitzvah B'Simcha. So now let's ask ourselves, what's more important? What has more value? The Mitzvah or the Simcha of the Mitzvah? Okay, let's weigh on the scale. Tefillin? Yeah? And the happiness that we feel when we have the opportunity to wear the tefillin. What's greater? So we would have all said the mitzvah comes the chida, comes the Rabbeinu Bechaye in the Sefer Kada Kemach, look at number 17. Hasimcha hazois hi mitzvah min haTorah. Joy is a mitzvah in the Torah. Now we still haven't seen, it's a mitzvah in the Torah. Show me. Where in the Torah does it say I have to do a mitzvah b'simcha? Where did this come from? You know, I've been Jewish for the last 50 years. And I've been reading the Torah. It doesn't say anywhere I have to do things b'simcha. Right? I thought you have to be depressed to be a good Jew. Right? People think in order to be a good Jew, you have to walk around, you know, worried. Right? You have to have at least five things you worry about. Right? And you know, you have to shift at sitter. You have to be depressed. You have to be upset. You have to be despondent. You're not allowed to ever smile, right? That's what I mean. No. Says Rabbeinu Chaye, wrong religion, sorry. Right? That's not for Judaism. You're chayiv to have simcha. Now look what he says. Nitztave adam aleha ki hi avoyde gemura chashuva yoyser min ha-mitzvah. The simcha, the happiness that we have when we do the mitzvah is more valuable than the mitzvah itself. Now, it doesn't mean that you could just have the happiness, right? Imagine, guess, I'm not going to wear tefillin. I'm just going to be happy to serve God, right? So he's a fool. The first thing you have to do is you got to do the mitzvah. Then you worry about the simcha. But once we have both things going for us, which one has more value, right? It's not just a feel-good religion. You got to do everything, right? You can't leave anything out. But once everything is done, what has more value? The simcha has more value. By the way, Chassam Sofer writes the same thing, number 18. Yadua sheha simcha sheha adam sameach ba'asiyas ha-mitzvah hi yoyser me'amitzvah gufa. The simcha that we have when we do a mitzvah is more valuable than the mitzvah itself. Yeah? Okay. Now let's ask ourselves, how much more valuable? I want to know exactly. I want to know. You know, mitzvah is worth $1 million. How much is a simcha worth? $1,007,300. How much is a simcha worth? Rabbis, I have a question for you. Why is there a mitzvah in the Torah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur? You say, oh, because how are you going to fast on Yom Kippur if you don't eat on Erev Yom Kippur? Yeah. But we don't need Hashem to tell us that if we're going to fast on Yom Kippur, we have to eat on Erev. Everybody knows on their own, right? You don't have to tell anyone. I guarantee you, any Jew who knows you have to fast on Yom Kippur will be eating plenty on Erev Yom Kippur. Why does Hashem give us a mitzvah to eat a lot on Erev Yom Kippur? I'll tell you why. Says Rabbeinu Yoina. Rabbeinu Yoina says the following. Says Rabbeinu Yoina, whenever a Yom Tov comes, we're always obligated to have a Seudas mitzvah. Right? We have a Seuda. Why do we have a Seuda? We want to show Hashem how happy we are, how much simcha we have that we were zocha that the Yom Tov has come, that we're able to celebrate the Yom Tov, right? Sudas mitzvah, sudas Yom Tov, right? Everybody knows that. Every Yom Tov we have a suda. Why do we have a suda on Yom Tov? Well, we have a suda on Yom Tov because we're off from work, so we might as well eat? No. We have a suda on Yom Tov to show Hashem how glad we are to be that we have the mitzvah of this Yom Tov. So here it's Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is a Yom Tov. Why don't we have a big suda on Yom Kippur to show Hashem how happy we are that it's Yom Kippur? Right? Good question. Right? What's the answer? Because you can't eat on Yom Kippur. If you eat on Yom Kippur, you chayav kares. Ah, so Hashem says, you can't make a suda to show me how happy you are that Yom Kippur came on Yom Kippur. So you know what? You'll do it the day before. In other words, the suda, the chiyuv to eat on Erev Yom Kippur is just since you can't make a suda of the happiness of the Yom Tov on Yom Kippur itself, we need to preempt it. We need to bring it up to the day before. So in essence, why do we eat on Erev Yom Kippur? To express our great joy that we have the opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah of Yom Kippur. So what's a greater mitzvah? Fasting on Yom Kippur, the mitzvah itself, or showing Hashem how happy we are that we're able to fulfill the mitzvah of fasting on Yom Kippur? The latter. The latter. Because the Gemara says, anyone who eats on Erev Yom Kippur, it's like what? It's like he fasted 2 days. So you know what we learn from here? The simcha that a person has when he does a mitzvah is worth double the amount as the mitzvah itself. Double the amount. But that's why we call the shir, you know, we're increasing your bottom line, right? We tricked you. I know, you thought you were going to make more money. No, even better, right? Even better than that. You can triple your spiritual portfolio, right? Imagine if in Tav Shin Ayin Beis, you just did mitzvot. If in Tav Shin Ayin Gimel, every time you put on tefillin, you think, I am putting on tefillin, I'm so glad that God has chosen me to serve Him. Not everyone was chosen. You have just, instead of your mitzvah being worth 1 million, it's now in total 3 million. Right? It's a way to triple your portfolio without doing anything extra. You keep Shabbos. Yeah, everyone keeps Shabbos. But if you think, I'm so glad that I have the opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah of Shabbos, you've tripled the value of your mitzvah. Right? It's worth it. But where in the Torah does it say this? Where does it say that we are obligated to serve Hashem besimcha? I'll tell you something very interesting. We mentioned on Sunday that we know Masechta Brachos begins with which mitzvah? Kriya Shema Shel Arvis, right? The evening Kriya Shema. And the various reasons given why Rebbe decided to start Shas with Kriya Shema Shel Arvis. We mentioned, it's on the sheet in number 20 from the Chidush HaRim, that if you think about it, when a boy becomes 13 years old, the very first mitzvah he has the opportunity to do the night of his 13th birthday is what? Kriya Shema. And we pointed out, actually, from Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, that there's a mitzvah d'oraisa you have the opportunity to do when you become 13, even before Kriya Shema. What is that? Berchas HaTorah. Right? Because the Berchas HaTorah you made in the morning, you made as a katan, as a minor. Now you need to make another Berchas HaTorah. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach writes that when a 13-year-old child becomes a bar mitzvah, he should have in mind, when he says, Avas Olam, to fulfill the mitzvah of Berchas HaTorah. Comes the Chassam Sofer, number 22. Chassam Sofer says, it ain't Kriya Shema. That's not the first mitzvah that a boy does when he becomes 13. It ain't Berchas HaTorah. You know what the very first mitzvah that we have the opportunity to do is? Accepting the mitzvahs b'simcha. It's the very first mitzvah that we become commanded in when we become 13 years old. Let's look at the words of the Chassam Sofer. Look at number 22. V'amarti, says the Chassam Sofer, Shezehu mitzvah rishayna shemekayim hanar miyad b'knisa shnas yodav. This mitzvah of serving Hashem b'simcha is the very first mitzvah that we become obligated in the night that we enter our 14th year. What is the mitzvah? Husas b'sameach. We rejoice. We're glad. Shezoiche lekabel oil mitzvah Hashem lekav, that we have the great fortune to accept the yoke of the mitzvahs. Says the Chassam Sofer, where did I get this from? He mitzvah saseh d'oraisa. It's a mitzvah in the Torah. Where? La'avdai b'simcha uvetov levav, levav meroiv koyal. You know where it says it in the Torah? This week's parasha. Tachas asher la'yavadata es Hashem elaykecha b'simcha. If God is telling us that all the tragedies that will ever happen to the Jewish people are all because that we don't serve God in joy, no kidding me, obviously he's telling us we got to do it, right? You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out that if God is saying, I will remove you from your land if you don't serve me b'simcha, obviously what's he telling us? This is something we got to do. Now listen to this. Says the Avnei Nezer, if serving God b'simcha is a mitzvah d'oraisa, now what does that mean, serving God b'simcha? That means like this. Oh, no, not, no. Yom Slichos? Oh, no. Slichos time again. I have to get up a half hour early. I'm going to be dead tired. Okay, it's only 6 days this year. You know, let me pull through it. That obviously is not serving, right? Or Yom Kippur. You come into Shul. Oh, no. Yom Kippur. How am I going to get through this day? Okay, well, you know, let me make sure I have enough reading material here. You know, I'll sneak out for 3 hours in the afternoon. I go lie down. And you know what? It's only one day a year, so you know, let's just wing it, right? That ain't serving God b'simcha. What's serving Hashem b'simcha? Yom Kippur is coming. It's in 30 days from now. It's in 20 days. I can't wait until I have the opportunity to wipe my slate clean, to clear my record. What does it mean to serve Hashem b'simcha? To eagerly anticipate and await a mitzvah when it comes. Says the Avnei Nezer, if there is an obligation in the Torah to eagerly anticipate the arrival of a mitzvah, what do you think the bracha of Shechianu is? The bracha of Shechianu is an expression of joy that we've been waiting for this day. Blessed are you, Hashem, that you've kept us alive and you've sustained us and we've reached this occasion. Says the Avnei Nezer, if simcha is a mitzvah d'oraisa, we understand perfectly well the opinion of the Rima Gash that the bracha of Shechianu is a mitzvah d'oraisa. That means that every time we're about to fulfill a mitzvah, we should be eagerly anticipating, awaiting. We can't wait. You know, like the story of Rav Levi Yitzchak Barditchev already, you know, in the nighttime, he's waiting till the morning comes so he could take the lulav and esrig. You know, he's waiting, he can't wait. Finally, you know, it's an hour until dawn, it's Alois HaShachar, he makes the mad rush into lulav and esrig, you know, smashing right through the glass door of his bookcase. Right? That's what it means. Right? Shechayanu v'kimanu v'kimanu l'azman hazeh. To eagerly anticipate the arrival of the mitzvah. That is not just a nice thing. Right? Until now, we probably thought, you know, it's a good idea when you do a mitzvah to try to feel happy that it's a nice thing. Tzaddikim do it. No! Tzaddikim do it. All Jewish tragedy has occurred because basically we do the mitzvahs, but we just go through the motions. But let's understand that. Okay, very nice. You want to say, I have to do it. Fine. I have to serve God in happiness. Fine. But wait a second. You're telling me that it's so bad if I don't serve? There are a lot of things I don't do. I know there are a lot of things I have to do. You're saying more than a failure to keep any specific mitzvah. All the tochacha comes because I do the mitzvahs, I don't do it the right way. I don't do it with the right feeling. How do we understand that? How does that make any sense? Give you a little example. What's a halacha if somebody says, I know it's Shabbos, I don't care, and he walks over, he turns on the light. What's that called? Mazik. He's intentional. He's intentionally desecrating Shabbos. What if someone says, not only do I intentionally want to desecrate Shabbos, I'm doing it to anger Hashem. So that's even worse than intentional. That's what we call Moired, Merida, he's rebelling. Is Mazid and Merida the same thing? No, very different. One person says, I know it's wrong, but look, I gotta do it. The other guy is trying intentionally to desecrate the name of Hashem. What if somebody on Shabbos, he forgets the Shabbos and he accidentally turns on the light? What's that called?
Shegig.
Is that as bad as Mazid? No. Mazid, someone who intentionally desecrates Shabbos, incurs kares, death penalty. Someone who does it by accident, right? Only is chayav karban chatas.
Shouldn't say when he offers it.
Right? What about a guy? He knows it's Shabbos. He would never turn on the light on Shabbos. He's walking in his apartment. He accidentally brushes against the light switch and he turns it on.
Misasik.
What's that called?
Misasik.
Did he do anything wrong? No, doesn't need kapara. Why not? All four people did the exact same thing. They all turned on the light on time. One of them did it to rebel. One of them did it intentionally. One of them did it accidentally. And one of them was unaware. And why is it that one guy doesn't need kapara and one guy has it coming to him? They did the exact same thing.
Your state of mind.
The only difference is kavana. Were they aware or were they unaware? And if they were aware, did they want to do it? And if there's a difference between wanting to do it and wanting to do it to anger. So now let's talk about a mitzvah. You could have two people in a shul. They're both putting on tefillin. One guy's putting on tefillin because he's on autopilot, right? He winds himself up in the morning. right? Just enough cranks to get in approximately the 200 shekels necessary for Shemoneh Esrei, four bows and two claps, right? He wound himself up, and he cranked himself up to get the seven wines, right? He didn't even realize he's in shul, right? He's on autopilot. He doesn't even know what he's doing. He didn't even think one time, you know, I am now fulfilling the mitzvah of tefillin. And you have another guy. He wakes up in the morning. I am so glad and happy I have the opportunity to serve the creator of the universe. He selected me. He just 99% of the world has not been selected. He selected me. He wants me to do this. He's looking at me right now. He's been waiting for me the whole night so I could get up and do this. Are the two people doing the same thing? No. The one who is thinking and is happy about what he's doing, he's infinitely greater. What about the guy who's not thinking what he's doing? We could almost make the case, hello, anyone home? He's not doing anything. Very nice he put on his tefillin. But he's like the guy who turned on the light on Shabbos, who he was in the middle of doing something else, and he just brushed against it. So this guy's on autopilot, he put on his tefillin. Did he do anything? Yeah. God does not fail in HaKadosh Baruch Hu mekapeach schar kol beria. But he's almost misasik. It's almost as if he's just going through the motions. In other words, if you look at Rashi throughout Chumash, let's say for instance, Vayikach Korach, Korach took. Who did he take? Dasan, Aviram, and the 250 men. How did Korach take them? Did he say, you know, okay, grab them by the lapel, schlep them, right, draw a line in the sand, you know, and schlep them to his side? That's not what he did. Imagine like this. Imagine if Korach would have come to Moshe. Moshe, who do you think you are? And it's not just I who disagree with you. All these 250 men disagree with you also. Imagine if those 250 men, they were blindfolded, right, their mouths were tied up, and they were handcuffed to the back of the chair. What? So Moshe said, what are you talking about? They agree with you. Korach said, of course they agree with me. You see this line? They're on my side. I took them to my side. You took them. Shkoyach, you took them to your side. They don't even know who I am, who you are. You just physically grabbed a hold of them and you brought them to your side. That is why Rashi says it is impossible to take a human being. You know why you can't take a human being? Because it's meaningless. Right? It's meaningless. Let's say I say, you know, yeah, I get into an argument with somebody. You know, it's everyone against you. What do you mean everyone? Who's everyone? All these 10 guys who I just handcuffed and blindfolded, they're on my side. They're on your side. They don't even know what we're talking about. Says Rashi, Kachim bidvarim. He took them with words. Because the only way to take another human being is not to grab a hold of his body. You need to persuade them. You need to convince them. You need to take not their body, you need to take their mind. Just to take someone's body, that's nothing. That's what the Chassam Sofer says. So if you have a person, he just does mitzvahs out of rote, without any feeling, without any emotion, guess what? It is as if he's not doing anything, almost. We're not going to say anything. It has tremendous value. But it's almost as if Hashem says, you're not serving me. No, don't tell me you kept all six volumes of the Shulchan Aruch. No. What do you mean you? Who's you? Your hand? Your body? Your arm? In your arm. But your mind is somewhere else. Your mind is preoccupied with a million other things. If your mind is not involved in the mitzvah, you're not doing a mitzvah. Says Reb Chaim Vital. The Gemara makes so many promises to us that if you do certain mitzvahs, you'll live long, you'll have money, this, that, and the other things. But we don't see it to be the case. Says Reb Chaim Vital, that's because you have to do the mitzvah. And doing a mitzvah means doing it b'simcha, doing it with happiness, doing it with joy, doing it with vitality. Now you schlep yourself up in the morning, you walk in like a zombie, half asleep, can't wait until you get out, till the whole thing is over with, till Yom Kippur, right? Not a lot of people. Elul, okay, 40 days, okay, it'll be over soon, right? That's how we think, it'll be over soon. Yom Kippur will be over soon. That's not what we're talking about. Person has to engender within his heart the ava for a mitzvah, the simcha of a mitzvah, that Hashem has granted us the tremendous opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah. And this is not just icing on the cake, this is not just a cherry on top, this is an absolute obligation that Rabbeinu Mechayi says is more valuable than the mitzvah itself, to the point where the Gemara says it is double eating on Erev Yom Kippur is worth twice as much as fasting on Yom Kippur itself. Rabbi Isai, when Rashi says that by Vidui Meiser, we're obligated to make a declaration, I didn't forget to make a bracha. So we had a question. What do you mean I didn't forget to make a bracha? Brachas are only drabanan. Says the Avnei Nezer, you know which bracha Rashi's talking about? Rashi agrees with the Rimagash that the bracha that you're obligated to say, you did not fail to state, is the bracha of Shechiyanu, Vikimanu, Vigiyanu, Lazman Hazeh, which according to the Rimagash is a Chiyuv Midai Raisa. Rabbi said this is a very important attitude as we approach the Yamim Naram. The idea that a person has to have simcha and joy in the service of Hashem. For those who think, Nebuch, that Judaism is about, you know, straining yourself, pushing yourself, killing yourself, making yourself despondent and depressed and downtrodden, that's not Yahadus, that's not Judaism. You know, the Chafetz Chaim used to say, if that's what it's making you, that means you're not doing the right thing. You know, you got the wrong recipe book. You got the wrong book. It's supposed to be something that makes your life happier, uplifts you. Very interesting. You know, we say, we're going to be saying in Aser Simei Tshuva, we say to God, Ki imcha haslicha leman tivare. You forgive us so we could fear you. What does that mean? Hashem, you forgive us so we could fear you. I would have said just the opposite. I would have said, if we had a God who's unforgiving and intolerant, and anytime we do a sin, He would zap us immediately with no compassion, then we would be afraid of Him. But now that God is forgiving, so I would think that mitigates, that makes less the yira that we have for Hashem, right? Who are you more scared of? The strict, unforgiving teacher or the forgiving teacher? You're not scared of the forgiving teacher. Forgiving teacher, you know there's a way out. And yet we say to Hashem, Ki imcha haslicha leman tivare. Hashem, because you forgive us, now we could fear you. So the Sefer HaIkrim explains, as elaborated by Rav Ruderman, says like this, if God would not forgive us, it would be impossible for a human being to fear Hashem. Right? Just imagine the following. Ein sadik ba'aretz asher yaseh tov lo yechta. There's no human being who doesn't sin. Right? Every human being sins. So, year one, we would sin once, twice, three times, five times, 100 times, year two. And then if we would think to ourselves, you know, we're doomed. We've sinned. There's no way out. God is going to, you know, we're going to punish us. There's no escape hatch. Psychologically, it would be impossible to accept the yoke of mitzvahs. It would be impossible. Knowing that a person is doomed to punishment, it would be psychologically impossible to fear Hashem. We just throw the whole thing away. Couldn't deal with it. But you know what Hashem says? Hashem says, I understand human nature. I understand that if there's no way to erase what's been done in the past, if there's no way for me to forgive you, you would not be able to accept upon yourself Yirah Shamayim. So you know what I do, says Ribbono Shel Olam, as explained by the Sefer HaIkrim. Hashem says, Ki imcha haslicha. God forgives us. Leman tivare. So that we're able to fear Him. The joy, the happiness, the simcha that we have when we do a mitzvah, the closeness that we feel to Ribbono Shel Olam, the happiness that we feel, does not lessen, does not mitigate the yira we have for the Ribbono Shel Olam. It allows for the yira that we have for the Ribbono Shel Olam. If there would be no feelings of simcha and avodas Hashem, it would be impossible. It would be impossible for a Jew to fear the Ribbono Shel Olam. That is why, very interesting, if you look at the cycle of the year, we have the 3 weeks of punishment, the 3 weeks, and then we have what we call Shiva Dinachemta, the 7 weeks of consolation. So we would expect the 7 weeks of consolation, you know, should be over. And then we have 4 weeks of preparation for Rosh Hashanah. No. This very Shabbos, we're still reading about God's consolation of the Jewish people. Up until Rosh Hashanah, right? We continue to read about the Nechama of the Ribbono Shel Olam right up till Rosh Hashanah. Why is that?
No.
The answer is because in order for a person to be able to embark on the process of tshuva, on the process of change, on the process of correction, he has to feel like he has a closeness with the Ribbono Shel Olam, that the Ribbono Shel Olam loves him, that the Ribbono Shel Olam wants to see him succeed. And that is why the preparation for Rosh Hashanah, explains the Michtam Eliyahu, is the Shiva Dinachemta. Says the Sefer Leket Yosher. Leket Yosher is from the Rishonim, from the Trumas Hadeshim. You know why we choose Sunday to be the day that we begin Slichos? Because on Shabbos, what do on Shabbos? We learn. That's what we're supposed to do. We learn, we eat. What does learning do? Pikude Hashem Yisharim Misam Chelev. The learning puts us in a good mood. It uplifts us. It gives us simcha. What does the Oineg Shabbos do? It gives us simcha. Oh, now that we're in a state of simcha, now we are ready to embark on the process of tshuva. Now we're ready to say, Ribbono Shel Olam, Ki Imcha Slicha. Now that we feel your love, we feel your closeness, we feel the relationship, Leman Tivare, we're ready for the Yira, we're ready for the awe of the upcoming Yomim Naraim. We should all be Zaycha to Aksiva Chasima Taiva and a good Kaben Shah.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.